And voices of those attempting to create a just world, and reports on the most daunting and heartbreaking issues facing humanity. Freedom is not free, but it's vital to the world we want to inhabit. Your financial gift ensures that WPFW can bring Democracy Now! To you live Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. each weekday morning. Go to WPFWFM.org. That's WPFWFM.org to make a secure, tax-deductible contribution now. That's WPFWFM.org. And thank you so much.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Montgomery County executes what they hope will be the final solution for Moses African Cemetery. They paved over 90% of our ancestors. How will the community fight back? Dr. Muir Schneider will discuss how to live your best life. Please support this station. Stay tuned. Before we bring Dr. Schneider, good morning. Before we bring Dr. Schneider and my co-host, Denise Young, to the microphone, please allow me a moment to comment on the barbaric and continuing desecration of Moses African Cemetery. Please note that not a single elected official in Montgomery County or the state of Maryland has had the courage to denounce the desecration of what Dr. Haile Jerima calls the People's Library, Moses African Cemetery. To be clear, not the governor, not Congressman Jamie Raskin, whose district the cemetery is located, not a single member of the Montgomery County Council, no one has had the courage to denounce the recent and vile desecration of the cemetery. On Monday, May 13th, Montgomery County, in collusion with a developer, poured vast amounts of cement in Moses African Cemetery. Why? To destroy all criminal evidence of the Ma'afa, the genocide that took place on River Road in Bethesda, Maryland. The desecration of Moses is not only a land grab by the wealthy, but an attempt to cover up the deaths of thousands of African people, particularly children, and especially girl children, forced into sexual slavery. This is the second time that Montgomery County has poured cement on the remains of African people in Moses Cemetery. In the late 1950s, Montgomery County built a parking lot over the bodies of Black people in what we now call Moses Cemetery. This parking lot still serves the residents of Westwood Towers Apartments. There are still hundreds of burials beneath the parking lot. This is the level of vile barbarism, white supremacy, that is unmatched in history. A Civil War veteran, Private William H.H. Brown, who survived slavery, fighting in two of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War, lies dismembered, desecrated, under concrete in Moses Cemetery. This is how Montgomery County, Maryland, celebrates Juneteenth. And this is why the BACC calls for a boycott of the Montgomery County Juneteenth program. Harvey Matthews played in Moses Cemetery as a child. He said, "We've been robbed in the Black community. Our land was stolen. My father and grandfather were nearly beaten to death by the KKK. I was beaten by the KKK." Now in 2024, Montgomery County and developers have poured cement over the bodies of my people. These are monsters. We have to fight back. So we're asking you to join BACC and the community at an upcoming Juneteenth program. We've joined with the National Juneteenth Observance Foundation to highlight the desecration of Moses. On June 18th, the MIAFA program, the nation, the United States, the nation will turn its attention to the paving over of Moses Cemetery. U.S. Colored Troops interpreters in uniform will lead a protest march down River Road, starting at Macedonia to Moses Cemetery, about a 5-minute walk. Everyone is invited. On June 19th, the 4th BACC Community Juneteenth Commemoration on River Road. Speakers, dancers, food, please come take pictures of the desecration and share on social media. The time is from 3 to 6. WPFW is the only radio station where you can learn this information. Most of you learned about the desecration of Moses from listening to this program. We have made history together all the way to the Maryland Supreme Court. But now you must pick up the phone and support station. I ask for your support and money. If you want to continue to be informed so that you can protect your family and your community, you must support WPFW. I ask you to go to your phone right now and call 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Or you can go online at WPFWFM.org.
Can you cut my nails?
So good morning, Denise Young.
Good morning.
This is one of the hosts of What's at Stake. How are you doing this morning?
I am well, Marcia. Good morning to you and good morning, WPFW family. That was such a powerful, powerful statement of the power of public radio.
It is. I mean, only when you think about the fact that, you know, we've gotten 400, 500, 600 news articles, but it's really only WPFW that allows the community to really understand what is happening in our community and how our community is being, you know, severed from our ancestors, from our history. And so I am one of the biggest supporters of WPFW. I'm a volunteer like you are. And I do this because I truly believe in WPFW. And I believe if you give our community the information, the knowledge, that the sky is the limit, that we can fight for our independence. Harriet Tubman once said, when they were saying that it was the abolitionists who freed them, or it was some other people who freed them. And Harriet Tubman said, no, it wasn't these people or that people. We freed ourselves.
Right.
And
right.
So I'm convinced that if our community has the right tools, we can free ourselves. And so I support WPFW wholeheartedly, and I know you do. And our next guest, Dr. Mir Schneider, of course, who has been on the show, and not only this show, but other shows on WPFW for some time, he supports WPFW. So Dr. Schneider, welcome to What's at Stake.
Well, I feel so honored to be on your show. And, I think that it is wonderful that you call it What's at Stake. And I would love to move to the next step. What is at stake for our health and for our future?
You know, I would love to. I think that that's exactly the direction we need because, you know, one cannot fight for one's liberation if you're not feeling well, if you're not healthy. And so one of the things that I love about you is that you give people very practical ways in which to fight to be healthy in a society that is, quite frankly, so stressful. So before we get into the techniques of how we embrace our health and how we make sure that we're as healthy as we possibly can be, why don't we talk a little bit about you and what your challenges, what the challenges that you have faced? You know, I think a lot of our listeners know that you were born blind. And that you taught yourself. Every time I read that, it just sends chills down my arms. How you taught yourself how to see. How did you teach yourself how to see?
You know what's interesting? I was born blind and with no connection to my blindness. I was a son of deaf parents. So I was known all over the country of Israel as in the deaf community as the son of Ida and Abraham, where my father was a champion of chess for the deaf community, and my mother was the top actress, which was interesting. But anyway, I never liked the limitations that blindness caused me. I was very happy that I was in an inclusion program, so I was reading Braille while other kids were reading normal print. I never had enough Braille books to help me. But anyway, I immediately had the motivation to start and change my life. And it came to me when I was nearly 17, and I learned some very interesting thing. Number one is that my eyes that were operated 5 times unsuccessfully for my cataracts were tremoring all the time. If you remember how the actor Stevie Wonder looks, you know, it's nystagmus, where without your will, they just move from area to area and you can't actually focus on anything. So I've learned that number one, you need to relax the eyes. Mm-hmm. And that was the first principle that I had. It took me some time to obtain it, but I did. Then I learned that, you know, while doctors wanted to be comfortable, they gave me dark glasses, which was good supposedly for me and for everybody else because they wouldn't see as much how much my eyes were tremoring. That tremor is called nystagmus. And I actually learned to adapt to the sun instead of escaping the sun. And you adapted it in a very rational way. You close your eyes and you move your head from side to side, from shoulder to shoulder, 180 degrees. So the pupils constrict and expand and they become stronger. And then I've learned that my teachers taught me well how to read Braille. But what happened is whenever I would try to sniff at that Braille, because I still had a 1% vision, they say, look away. I mean, your sight is just disturbing you to feel. And so I got this brain order, don't look, just feel. And that was very important order to undo. So I learned to look at details, and then I learned to expand my periphery because I wouldn't notice where everything is in the room. And as I was practicing 13 hours a day, relaxing my eyes with an exercise called palming, where you put your hands around the eye orbits and you relax, adapting to the strong sunlight and adapting to the darkness of the night, and looking at details, I started to have such a good sense of freedom. I had my crises, but I had eventually such a good sense of freedom and happiness. It felt to me like when I was 17, I had my second birth because I had to work intensively on my eyes. And today, to just summarize it, I read, write, and drive. Yeah. And I want to tell you about somebody who came here to Canada, because I normally am in San Francisco, California. She came here to Canada from Germany. It's closer to her to come to East Canada, which is where I am in Quebec, Canada, French Canada, than to come to San Francisco. And she makes a point to meet me twice a year. Well, her daughter, or my client, was born with cataracts like me. But she was diagnosed in her late time. Late time is past 8 weeks of life. In my time, they did not know it. My two kids were born with cataracts. We diagnosed them very quickly, and we removed the lenses at the age of 2 and 3 weeks. But she was diagnosed only the 11th week, and they removed her lenses, and she became legally blind because she passed the critical time of brain development, which is 8 weeks of life, with which the human eye is looking at things. Most infants look between the age of 6 and 8 weeks at the world around them. Before that, they don't. And then what happens is, if you miss that time, the brain writes off the whole idea of seeing. So my kids were doing well in that sense. But in her case, she lost that time, and she more felt things and listened to things. And we started to motivate her to look at things. We did very similar exercises to the ones I do, although we developed them much, much further than when I started. And today, I can tell you that her vision was 5%, and now it is 70%.
Oh, my
vision.
Goodness. That's
It took us 6 years. And her mother visits me everywhere. She met me originally in Germany when I gave workshops there. But then she visits me anywhere I go. She went to Paris. She went to other places in Germany. She went even to Israel when I was there, and she's coming here to Canada, and she will always see me at least twice a year to continue and work on her daughter. When I see devotion like this, it actually opens my heart, and the person I'm thanking the most is my daughter, because in spite of a good medical treatment, she probably would have seen 30% of normal vision. But the result of the work with me, she sees 95% of normal vision, and she's doing fantastic work in the city of San Francisco, helping to house homeless people. So I'm so happy. I'm so grateful to the knowledge that I have, and I would like to share it with the world and let you know that your potential is enormous. This Garam Alice would have been legally blind. In fact, I've written a chapter in a book on natural vision improvement, where 40 people who teach natural vision improvement have written chapters. Mm-hmm. And I've submitted a chapter about exactly that girl. Her name is Marlies, who all of a sudden I start to see that she's looking and looking and looking, and she moved from being legally blind to normally sighted. And it doesn't mean that she still sees normally, but it means she's looking normally. She's no longer sensing and hearing instead of looking. That was a fantastic thing. And thanks to my experience, I'm so happy that it moved to her.
Well, what I find just incredibly moving, and I think it's incredibly powerful, is how you didn't allow yourself to give in to limitations that you decided. You made a personal decision that you were not going to succumb to limitations, that there was something else out there. And then you sought ways in which to make that, you know, what you were feeling and what you desired so much a reality. And, you know, I've read all of your books and you know, because, as you know, I deal with eye issues as well, and which is the reason why you and I first met. And I know that you are offering to our listeners, you know, three very powerful books in order to support WPFW. And we are.
So I want to say that I'm a friend of WPFW. I think it's an excellent station. I'm especially a friend of Dr. Watkins and of Marsha. And I want to tell you, I'm a friend of your show. I think you're doing tremendous work. And you're doing it with your heart. So we will send to people at our expense the books. I mean, not those who order the books outside of this program, but those who donate to your station with generosity. Mm-hmm. We will send them three books. One is Movement for Self-Healing, that shows at least 20 cases of people who improved from paralysis, from blindness, from poor vision, from double vision, from all kinds of problems. The other one is Vision for Life, which is very popular. It's in 20 different languages. In Hebrew, they call it Me'ir Enayim. Me'ir means giving light, and Me'ir Enayim means giving light to the eyes. That's what they call it in Hebrew. But it's in many languages, including Chinese, Lithuanian, German, French, Italian, Spanish, and name the language, it's there. So I really think that you should all have that book to practice with. And the newer book, Awakening Your Power of Self-Healing, based on the Handbook of Self-Healing, with 600 exercises and 400 illustrations. So we're giving all three books to listeners of this show. We're going to send them to people. We already sent them to people who listen to Dr. Watkins' show yesterday. So we'll send them quickly to anyone who will pledge for your show. So we ourselves, we're a nonprofit, but we're contributing to your show.
Thank you so much. So if you'd like to join in on the conversation with Dr. Schneider, share with him perhaps what you're going through and get some advice, the call-in number is 202-588-0893. The call-in number is 202-588-0893. You know, I think my favorite book, and this is just my personal preference, is your last book. I mean, I use it all the time when I catch a cold, when I feel like flu is coming on, whatever it is, I go to the book and I try to figure out, well, how do I deal with this issue without pouring chemicals into my body? Is there a way for me to exercise or eat certain foods that will, that would help me without having, you know, to run to the pharmacy? You know, we talked a little bit at the beginning, at the top of the show, about a very stressful situation in our community, a traumatic experience in our community, where politicians and people with a lot of money have decided to rip apart our history and to erase our history. And I would love to know, how do you deal with stress? I mean, how do you, on a very practical level, deal with just the everyday stress in your life without becoming ill?
This is such an important thing, something that we should know. And this is that happiness will not come to you from life. You have to bring it to your own life. Mm. And the Awakening Your Power of Self-Healing starts with a chapter on breathing. And then a chapter on circulation. The most important news that exists is not what happens overseas, not tornadoes that happen in this country. It is really, does your blood circulate well or not? Do your joints move well? There's a wonderful chapter on movement of the joints. And then that book has a second part to it, which is, what do you do when you're ill? How do you work on yourself when you're ill? I've seen the most miserable people who have everything. And I've seen people who don't have hardly anything and are very ill, but then they work on themselves and they become so happy with what they're able to obtain and to reach in their life, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that what you're saying is exactly the right thing. And let me just say that there is a chapter on the nervous system in that book, and I'm going to work on it when I'm going to do a workshop online on June 19th. And that talks about creating balance in your autonomic nervous system. So, for example,
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
Autonomic. It's called
what
autonomic.
Does that mean? What does that mean?
Means it is automatic, okay? Oh. So, for example, when a person in the past or these days in some areas of the world walks and sees a hungry lion, all kinds of things will happen in his body or her body. You would have incredible rush of norepinephrine, which people call adrenaline. You would have incredibly fast heartbeat. You will have complete cessation of digestion. You're about to be digested yourself. You don't need the energy there. You would have change in your kidneys that will stop working. And all kinds of other things happen to prepare you for the event where either you run away, or you fight, or other situations like zebras sometimes pretend to be dead, and then they shake when the lions leave. So what happens is, we used to be for 2 million years in a situation where stress was immediate. Right now there is a lion, right now there is a cheetah, right now there is a hungry dog, and that's where situation is. And you handle it. These days, exactly what you're bringing up, situations are long, long term. They don't go away quickly. Things last for a very long time, which leads to cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, many, many other problems. And what we suggest in our book, what suggests in my practice, is build up in a good, comfortable environment in your living room your stress to the highest level, and that is with a contraction of the internal muscles of your body, and then release that stress. So you build it up and release it, and then you allow all those hormones which are in your body that you were not able to release to go away. Because otherwise, the two systems, the one that relaxes you, which is called the parasympathetic, that helps you digest food easier, and the one that stresses you, that make your heart beat very fast and stop digestion, there is no balance between them. They become both weaker because they're not working for immediate situation. So what we're doing is we create stress, let that stress drop, and when that stress drops, you become free. And that's how you can become free of many, many internal illnesses.
I mean, I love, it's such a practical way of releasing stress. And so I'd like just to repeat that if you'd like to talk to Dr. Meir Schneider, please call us at 202-588-0893. I know we have one caller on the line, but if you'd like to donate, which is so important, because WPFW is the most important cultural institution in this area. Over 1 million people listen to this station every day. This is the main line to our community. So we're asking you to please donate at 202-588-9739, or you can go online at WPFWFM.org. And Dr. Schneider has generously offered three of his best-selling works, Awakening Your Power of Self-Healing, Vision for Life, Movement for Self-Healing. And you can, if you can donate $150 to those three, you can get all three. But if you'd like just two, Awakening Your Power of Self-Healing, Vision for Life, or Movement for Self-Healing, we would ask you for a donation of 89.3. So please go to the phones. Please call us. Okay, I think we have one caller on the line. Is that right, Michael? Thank you. You're on WPFW.
Hello?
Hi, you're on WPFW. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Robert Moses. I'm a resident of Fort Washington, Maryland, and I'm a member of the D.C. Coalition in Solidarity with the Cuban Revolution. Anyway, I was concerned as a political scientist, it's my job to enlighten people, to turn on the lights. And I have a saying that Moses went to the mountain. Jesus was the mountain. The mountain came to Muhammad. Muhammad said, what's love got to do with it? These Christians are oppressing my people. So he preached the Quran. Only a fool would say there is no God. Mao Zedong was the Fujian man who moved the mountain. And I just want to say, you know, like, I don't want Jesus to move the mountain. Jesus is the mountain. I just want the strength to climb. And I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain. And I just think, you know, that we have to recognize there is a power greater than us. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for your comment. Meir, why don't we talk about some what we call diseases. I'm not sure if you agree with that word, diseases, but that really impact the Black community in particular, like hypertension. How do we address the issue of hypertension, for example?
So basically, we have to, of course, watch our diet, which has a lot of sugar and salt in it, and reduce them to the extent that we can. We have to get rid of all kinds of stimulants in our diet, or at least decrease them to a great extent. But the main thing is that hypertension is a result of sedentary lifestyle in most cases. And I have a wonderful exercise where you stand and you lift your legs and your arms opposite of each other. We have a nice dance of that. And you lift the leg high and lift the arm high. And that is in order to bring more blood to your feet and to your hands. And when you do that and the blood circulates, you reduce your high blood pressure. I've measured it in one of my classes. I had a physiotherapist and a nurse who measured it. And basically, pressure went down from the systole by about 20 points, and then diastole by about 5 points, just after doing it for 10 minutes. Yeah. So if you work on it, and of course, I would be slow in taking medications unless it's a malignant high blood pressure, which is way over the charts, then you have to take them. But if it's not, do the things that you need to do to reduce your blood pressure, and it's going to make you much healthier, because those medications are with great side effects, which affects the body in a negative way.
What do you consider a malignant blood pressure?
Oh, for example, 300 over 200.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Things of that nature. You know, if it is, instead of 120 over 80, it becomes, let's say, 160 over 90, then this is a good time for you to work with exercise and dietary change and get the pressure lowered and live within the means of your body for the rest of your life in as good way as possible. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you about another thing. Many, many people, regardless of which community, get arthritis these days.
Right.
It spreads and spreads. So I tell you one story. There was a lady, she's 81 right now. And last year, she had a lot of emotional stress. And she ended up not being able to digest her food for 11 days. She threw it up. And she actually has the best food. She's under a macrobiotic diet, but she couldn't digest it yet because there was an incredible family tension there. And then one time she stood up, fell down and broke a hip joint.
Mm.
Okay. So she went to the hospital. She was rushed to the hospital. They did very elaborate surgeries of a hip replacement. And they gave her a walker, but she couldn't get out of the table and walk. Mm. And she had the best physiotherapy she could get in Mexico. She's from Mexico. And she could not turn in her bed, not right and not left, for 3 months. And she called me, and then I found a way to have a Zoom session with her, her nurses, a physiotherapist, a massage therapist. And we were able, within a month, to get her to turn on her side. And it was very dramatic when she was able first time to stand, so she stood up. Then she really begged me. I was in Europe. I wanted to come back home and rest. She begged me to fly more or less quickly after I came back from Europe to Mexico, and I was with her for 11 days, working on her 2.5 hours, 3 times a day. So 7.5, 8 hours a day, I was working on her. We were able to get her to walk. Then she came to San Francisco. And there she wasn't in as good shape as I wanted her to be, but she can run, catch the bus, walk for a mile or two. We moved her from one situation to completely another situation at the age of 81. Mm. And so many people break their hip joints have a surgery, within 2 years they die.
Wow.
And I think that we need to really learn to use nature and be nurtured by nature. So this is what's so great about the method that we're doing, and that's why I wrote the book, Awakening Your Power of Self-Healing, so people will know what they can do for themselves. I really believe in the inner potential that we have, and that's what self-healing is all about, to reach the potential that you have, even at the age of 81, even at the age of 100.
Well, it's amazing because, you know, senior homes and these places, you know, dealing with an aunt who's elderly now, and what's amazing is how people are just literally thrown away after a certain age. And here's a story about an 81-year-old woman, you know, who is, you know, has been able to tap into self-healing. So, you know, I'm asking people to please call in. The call-in number, if you'd like to speak to Dr. Schneider, is 202-588-0893. Please provide your resources to this incredible station. As I, you know, I keep saying, it is the most important cultural institution in our community. And that is 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739. Or you can go online at WPFWFM.org. But please go online. And I understand that we do have contributors, and we're so grateful, Denise, for your help today. And in terms of organizing the people who are calling in.
Oh, absolutely. And good morning, Dr. Schneider. Wonderful to meet you. I'm actually sitting here taking notes. I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I wish my doctor had mentioned some of these things. And so the information is so useful, so practical. And I think it's a testament again to the power and the importance of WPFW and the programming, the very thoughtful, the very useful, the very applicable programming that we bring to our WPFW family. And so I want to give recognition to people who've already donated this morning. We so appreciate you reaching into your hearts and into your pockets. David from Rockville, Maryland, thank you very much for your generous donation. Thomas, who sends a message of Aluta Continua, fight on BACC. Again, thank you, Thomas from Washington, D.C., not only for the donation, but the encouragement. Kathleen from Greenbelt, Maryland, thank you very much, Kathy. We appreciate your donation. We also have an anonymous donation from Elkridge, Maryland, and we have another anonymous donation from Bethesda, Maryland. And so we appreciate every single solitary dollar, every bit counts. And listen, folks, we are actually that quickly over the span of half the show, we are already at 87.5% of our goal. That's amazing. And that is all because we have fabulous listeners. We have fabulous supporters. We understand that you understand that we do the very best that we can to come into your homes, to create community, to create family, and to provide you with the kind of independent programming that you can't find elsewhere, the things that you need. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We have $75 to go.
Wow, that is amazing. And Dr. Schneider says that I lead with my heart. He's right. I love doing the work I do for WPFW, but more importantly, I love my community. And I love my community because regardless of the challenges we face, every morning we get up and we fight back. And I love the kind of strength that our community provides. And so, you know, again, we're way over half of what we need to raise to support what I think is the most important cultural institution in the Washington, D.C. area. So please feel free to call in and talk to Dr. Schneider at 202-588-0893. Or donate. I mean, literally, money is important, but it's what you do with money that's important, not just having money. So donating to WPFW is one of the most important things you can do with your money. More important than buying sneakers or a dress or a purse or something. You are investing in the future of your community, and by that, you're investing in your children. So to donate, go to 202-588-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. So, you know, Dr. Schneider, you know, there are other issues that our community is dealing with. I mean, we've looked at arthritis. I would love for you just to tell us, how do people get arthritis? Is it just from getting old or becoming older, I should say? Because when you go to the doctor and you say, oh, you know, my hand is hurting or whatever, they'll say, oh, yeah, that's because you're over 65 or something. Is that true? And then also...
No, it shouldn't be that way, because the cartilage should really be available for us for like 150 years. Oh. It's what we do with it. So there's two reasons for arthritis, although it's really generalization. But one reason is when the immune system attacks the body and destroys the cartilage. And that's normally called rheumatoid arthritis. Mm-hmm. And you can overcome that with what we spoke about in the beginning of the show. And this is letting internal contraction increase, then relaxing, and you can really affect the immune system very much by affecting the autonomic or automatic nervous system, which includes two different parts, you know, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. But then there's another thing, and this is, we sit too much. I think that everyone has no business sitting more than 20 minutes before you stretch. The chair is the biggest enemy of your back and the biggest enemy of your joints. And there is nobody who doesn't sit these days, and there is nobody who doesn't suffer from it. So what I really recommend for everyone is to stand up and to pull your leg backwards. So, for example, I'm standing up right now as I'm speaking with you,
yeah,
I'm pulling my right leg backwards, and I push my chest forwards, and I take deep breath, and you do it every 20 minutes, and it really gets you to activate muscles that are muscles which are neglected when you sit. We're not meant to sit for 8 hours a day. I've not seen apes sitting 8 hours a day on any branch. Mm-hmm. And if we pay a price for it. Another thing is shoes on cement. Cement is rough. Yesterday I took a walk near waterfall, and it was nice that there were a lot of wood that we walked in. But as you know, Marsha, I run on the beach often in San Francisco. I'm the crazy guy who bathed in that cold water, you know, for years. People were very seeing me doing that. So when you walk on the beach, when you walk on grass, you're doing yourself a huge favor. And anytime you're at home, if there is a carpet, take your shoes off and walk bare feet on your carpet. And please move in many ways in rotating motion. But again, let's return to the sitting first of all.
Okay.
You stretch every 20 minutes, could be for 15 seconds, that's all. But every 2 hours, get out of your desk and walk. You have no business sitting for that long without moving. Kids understand that. It's hard to keep them sitting. I'm happy in some places they have pillows with which they can sit on the floor. But we're becoming stiff because of what we do. And we can become loose as a result of what we'll do. And again, we have to change our diet to some extent, but we have to be in the world of movement and not in the world of freezing and staleness.
Do you favor vegetarianism, or do you think there's a place for...
Look, I'm a vegetarian myself, but I don't favor it because everybody needs a different diet. So it is more complicated, and I'm happy to not be a nutritionist. I'm just expert in kinesthetic awareness and exercises. But do what makes sense. I can tell you what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't drink gas drinking, you know, like Coca-Cola and and 7-Up and things of that nature. That's for sure a no-no. You shouldn't eat potato chips, even though you may be tempted to do that. But other than that, everyone needs a different diet. But I'm a vegetarian already. I will never forget it. When I became vegetarian, I was 20, and my mother told me, you'll die. Well, as you know, I'm pretty healthy, and I'm almost 70 right now. So the vegetarian diet works for me just fine, and I'm happy with it. But everybody should have a healthy diet, and everyone knows what works for them. If you digest it well, if you feel light after it and nourished, then keep eating that food. Don't eat food that makes you tired, that makes you puts you in a place of lack of concentration, and don't eat food late, and don't eat food early. Eat it early enough that you can digest it, and do your exercises before you eat food in the morning. But I want to talk about exercises. We have more than 600 muscles in the body, and most of us use about 50 out of them, and in gyms, we normally strain them. And so people build up very big muscles, and in some ways, it's good for them. They become strong and all that. But in some ways, very bad for them, because the buildup of the muscles is with lack of balance. For example, we overly flex our fingers. We should extend them. We don't mobilize our toes, and we're stepping on them all the time. That's one of the problems that we have with shoes and cement. Our joints are becoming stiff one by one. And what we need to learn is to loosen up the connective tissue around the muscle we always use and start to use muscles we never used before, and creates a new neurological activity that builds new brain cells by connecting between the muscles we always use and the ones we never use at any age.
Well, how do you know which muscles, I'm sorry, but how do you know which muscles you don't use? I mean, I don't know which
muscles. Well, I'll give you a few examples, my dear. For example, you remember that in our classes, I got people to start and move their toes independently, and hardly anyone could do it? For example, movement of the toes. Some people can write with the toes, paint with the toes. Some people who, unfortunately, were born with short arms or are armless, learn how to feed themselves with the toes. We all have the same toes. But people basically with shoes and cement have stopped using their toes, but they step on them all the time. So that's one example. The other one, all the audience could do at home. Stand up and lift your legs sideways and keep it as up as you can sideways. And if you're going to do it for like 2 minutes, you're going to find that your muscles are pretty tired because you hardly ever lift your legs sideways. You lift it forward. And even forward, sometimes lift your legs as high as you can. And, you know, there's a big problem with people in their 80s. And I really, my heart is breaking, especially for my 90-year-old clients, that they stop knowing how to walk. And many of them fall. For example, I have a client here in Quebec. When I was trying to get her to walk uphill, I really had to hold her hand because instead of bending the front knee, she stretched the front knee. And she marched like with the front leg straight. And I had to really work and work and work and teach her. In her case, I had to have my partner, Jean, translate to French again and again, to bend the front knee and not to stretch the front leg. And that happens when people are getting used to walk with walkers. I really think that people start with walkers way too early, and it's at the expense of the muscles. And let me give everybody a tip. You know, from the age of 40, stop using the railing when you walk upstairs. Almost everybody does it, and you know what it does? It weakens your legs. When you go downstairs, of course, hold the railing to not fall. But if you're not going to fall, don't hold the railing. Work on your balance. Everything that you do in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s will affect you in your 80s and 90s.
You know what, Mayor? We're sort of running out of time. And I know that Denise has a big announcement that she wants to make, but I also want you to address diabetes before the end of the show. So Denise, are you, Denise?
I am here, Marcia. Yes, I just
By the way, Denise, it's such a pleasure to hear you pledging for money. Such a pleasure to meet you in this way. And I'm really grateful that you're helping the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dr. Schneider. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Listen, we have wonderful news. We have not only met our goal, we have exceeded our goal. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts to our WPFW family. I want to send a thank you recognition to Sabu from Washington. Thank you. Your pledge means the world. And then another anonymous pledge from Washington, D.C. And again, thank you, everyone who has, again, shown generosity of heart and wallet to be able to support our programming, What's at Stake. Thank you. Back to you, Marcia.
Well, but thank you so much, Denise. I can't tell you how much it means to me to have you. You're one of my sheroes. And it's just been a pleasure to work with you today. And we only have a few minutes. So I really want to get to diabetes. I'm rushing to get to diabetes. We only have maybe 2 minutes to talk about diabetes, but it is such a huge problem in our community. So
as you probably understand, most people who came to me first for diabetes came because of bleeding in the retina. Because you have two problems in diabetes. One is poor insulin production. And, you know, the purpose of insulin is to get sugar into the cells, right? When the sugar meets oxygen, there is a chemical reaction that leads to the energy production of our body, which is called ATP molecule. Now, if you don't have the sugar in the cells, you're in trouble, but the sugar cannot enter the cells. Insulin, when it binds with sugar, pierces through the cell and brings it to the cell. So what happens is you have that problem, but then you have another problem, and that is poor blood flow. Even if you have enough insulin, and even if you get the sugars to the cell, often with diabetes, the poor blood flow leads sometimes to huge problems, from the fact that wound healing becomes slow or impossible, to the point of gangrenes, of kidney loss, and in my case, where I met so many people as a result of vision loss. And it could be sudden, because all of a sudden, you don't get enough blood coming to your retina, and you lose a big portion of your eye. And so my recommendation to prevent the need for insulin, especially in type 2 and type 3 diabetes, I would say, type 3 is when you have the symptoms but you still are not insulin dependent, is to do a lot of movement. First of all, nobody in this life has a right to walk less than 1 hour a day. Nobody. Wow. Nobody. Okay. That's number one. Number two, we have, as you probably heard once or twice from me, a wonderful bodywork technique to tap on bones. Because in bones is where you have your blood production. So if you tap on bones, and by the way, you can do it on yourself. I was able to get people to reduce insulin intake by 2/3. I had the best case I ever had was somebody who, against my advice, did a vitrectomy. She removed the vitreous from her eye, and she became blind. But the other eye was legally blind at 2.5% vision. And we worked and worked. I did a lot of tapotamen with her. She even took my whole training course. And by the way, I'll have one in August 4th until August 16th. San Francisco. Anyone who wants a basic training with me, it's worth your while. It's only 2 weeks, and you can transform yourself and help others this way.
So she took the course. Sorry, but we only have 1 minute. So can you give?
Okay. And we build up vision. And we build up enough vision that she could drive and build a family. It was amazing how she improved. So diabetes could be prevented and could be managed very well. You can stand under a shower massage, be in jacuzzi. So the final thought here is that you really can work with your body's resources to fix your body problems. And that's why we call our work self-healing. And I'm going to have a webinar on the 19th of June for a whole day. It is 10 to 5 our time in California, and it's 1 to 8 the time back east, that people can take and work with me practically and hear lectures of how to improve their body. And I love the audience of WPFW. They're very open-minded.
How can we reach you? Very quickly.
You can write to officemanager@self-healing.org or call us at 415-665-9574.
Can you repeat that, please?
415-665-9574. And I'm so grateful to you, Marcia.
No,
and
I'm grateful to you because, you have been such an incredible friend of WPFW, and we thank you so much. We thank our audience for placing us over the top in terms of our fundraising goal today. We thank you, Dr. Schneider, so much. We look forward to having you back on the program. Please go to, if you want to learn more about the BACC Juneteenth, please go to our website at Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition.net. And I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Mir Schneider, Denise Young. What can I say? I'd like to thank our ancestors. Thank
you, Marcia. I just want to say the generosity keeps coming. We have one final donation, and it is from Dawn from Prince Frederick, Maryland. Dawn, thank you.
Thank you
again.
So much,
the generosity.
So, Denise, make sure that you give us the names and the addresses so the people who pledged and donated, so we can send them with love our books. It's at our expense, and that's how we support Marcia's show, and I'm very grateful to that show.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
To executive producer, Ms. Verna Avery Brown. The program is engineered by Mr. Michael Nasella. I am Marcia Coleman Adebayo. We are celebrating the 21st anniversary of the passage of the No Fear Act, the first civil rights and whistleblower law of the 21st century. WPFW salutes whistleblowers.
Singer, songwriter Stevie Wonder's long career has reflected his concern with humanitarian and social justice issues. His activism has been pivotal in U.S. and world events, including spearheading the campaign to make Martin Luther King Jr. Day a national holiday and relentlessly advocating for an end to apartheid in South Africa. This Memorial Day, WPFW presents Songs in the Key of Life, a salute to Stevie Wonder. From 5 a.m. until midnight, we will explore all things Stevie. From Saginaw, Michigan's child prodigy to recent Ghanaian citizen. That's Songs in the Key of Life. A salute to Stevie Wonder. Monday, May 27th, 5 a.m. until midnight on WPFW. Building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! Think about how much you've relied on Democracy Now! And its birthplace, WPFW, this year. Democracy Now! Began in WPFW's Adams Morgan Studios as an election year program that brought analysis and spoke truth to power. Just as Democracy Now! Continues to do today, 27 years later, as an independent, unembedded, international investigative news hour. The global team of journalists you hear on Democracy Now! Brings you the events and voices of those attempting to create a just world and reports on the most daunting and heartbreaking issues facing humanity. Freedom is not free, but it's vital to the world we want to inhabit. Your financial gift ensures that WPFW can bring Democracy Now! To you live Monday through Friday, 8 to 9 a.m. each weekday morning. Go to WPFWFM.org, that's WPFWFM.org, to make a secure, tax-deductible contribution now. That's WPFWFM.org. And thank you so much.
Celebrate Caribbean American Heritage Month in June at the 22nd DC Caribbean Film Fest, June 7th to the 12th, presented by CAWI, CPN, ICS, AFI, and Africa World Now Project at AFI Silver Theater and Cultural Center in downtown Silver Spring. The festival showcases the best in Caribbean cinema with 15 films representing 10 Caribbean countries. Highlights include discussions with film